This morning, I'm going to ask that you open your books to Psalm 51. This is a psalm of David regarding the time that Nathan the prophet had come to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. I'll be reading Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean of my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. And then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burning offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O Lord, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. Let us pray. Father, your words say in Matthew 18:20 that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in their midst. We welcome your presence in this gathering. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to teach us and to save us. Allow your Holy Spirit to come and help us to know your ways and your will. We are aware that your presence makes a difference in our lives. Thank you for being so good to each of us. Amen. So we read Psalm 51, which is David's confession regarding a repentance that was acceptable in both the Jewish faith and the Christian faith. His prayer of confession acknowledges the reoccurring problem in the story of God's chosen people, the reoccurring problem with today's world. David would beg for God's forgiveness and repent for his sins. He speaks from his heart in Psalm 51. He did commit adultery with Bathsheba, and he arranged to have her husband murdered. When we as believers try to conform into this world to be accepted or to rise above others, it only leads to sin and frustration. And yet we see it happening all the time. I want what you have, I'm going to get it. I don't like you, I'm going to put you down. I'm going to talk badly about you. How blessed we are to know that every day, we are accepted by our Lord God. And we are forgiven for our sins every single day. When we transform and break out of the mold, we stop trying to squeeze in to be like everyone else, to have what everyone else has, to fit in. We are able to make an impact in this world. This transformation will bring joy. There are times when you may feel like you are walking by yourself, alone. Jesus is always with us. As Christians, we need to be the light of the world. We are different. We are living for eternity. We are seeking the Lord. What we believe in will determine our behaviors and our words and our lives overall. How can we say we love God when we are having difficulty with our brothers and sisters? David was confronted by the prophet Nathan and fully recognized how he slipped into sin. He uses words like unfailing love and loving kindness and compassion and teacher and tender mercies, referring to God and asking for forgiveness. He's asking for his sins to be wiped away. He fully recognizes that his actions were the greatest against God. Do you ever think about that? When we sin, it's against God. It's hurting him. David acted the exact opposite of how God was teaching him to act. Sometimes we're so hurt, we're so angry, we're so bewildered by what's going on, we forget what God has taught us. In verse 3, I read, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me." That's not an easy life to live, recognizing your sins, knowing that they're there. It is a good thing he also knew how to ask for forgiveness. He had willingly done things that were wrong against God. Yet he was bringing glory to God by confessing that God's commands were good and just. And he felt heavily burdened by falling away from God. We are blessed to be a part of his holy nation. We are blessed that he finds he will give us mercy for any and all situation we are going through. If someone comes against you, let God defend you, which means you go to God first. Ask for help. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is a story of forgiveness and growing our gifts for the glory of God. I'll be reading Luke 18 from 9 to 14. Again, it is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke 18, 9. "To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by him and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Theologian David Guzik has written, "The justification of the tax collector was immediate. He humbly came to God on the basis of his atoning sacrifice and was justified. He didn't earn his justification, and he didn't have a probationary period. He was simply justified. He was justified because, as a sinner, he humbly prayed for mercy. And mercy in the sense of atoning sacrifice. He prayed, 'O God, be satisfied with the atoning sacrifice and forgive me.' He didn't say, 'Be merciful to me, because I'm not a Pharisee.' He didn't say, 'Be merciful for me, I'm only human. Be merciful for me, I'm a sinner.' He didn't say, 'God, be merciful to me, I'll try to do better.' He simply prayed, praying body, soul, and spirit, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here are some words to begin a prayer when you are willing to change your life and be forgiven by God. I'm going to read through them quickly. Think about these prayer starters, and then I'm going to read through them quietly and give you some time to respond in your own minds. Father God, I have sinned by. Lord, I confess that I have. Forgive me for. I will turn away from my sin by. God, I will restore the wrong by. See, asking for forgiveness also means going to the person that you have wronged. So I'll go through a little bit slower. Don't need to answer each one, but the one that resonates with you, how to ask God, do ask God for forgiveness at this time. Father God, I have sinned by. Lord, I confess that I have. Jesus, forgive me for. I will turn away from my sin by. I will restore the wrong by. He is with us. He knows us. He loves us. We need to go to him. Amen. 1 John 1:9 reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That is truly a gift. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Why is it so hard for people to say, I am sorry, to make up for the sin that was committed? We are forgiven and we will find peace in the Lord and we will be able to rejoice. We are cleansed. Restoration occurs through true repentance. We are washed by his blood. Our lives will be used for good as Jesus empowers our lives. He will give you the strength to move forward. He will give you the strength to say, I'm sorry. Jesus is always before us and always with us. We are totally blessed to have him watching over us. And the beautiful songs that we sang this morning, we know that he is here. We know that this community of believers is blessed by his love. James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Sometimes we think those that are getting all the attention are who people are watching. But I believe that people are watching those that shine with God's love. Your love, your humbleness, your faith will help others. David had a humble heart. He responded when chastised and set as an example, a good example, a wonderful example for all of us. Today, may the joy of your salvation be renewed or restored. You are a child of God, and you are loved, and you are forgiven. We're going to move into communion at this time. Matthew and Sandra were going to help by passing out the supper, and Eloise is going to play some music for us. So what I'd like you to do is to serve others and then come back and serve us, and then we will take communion together. Okay. So let's pray. We thank you, God, that Jesus was born among us, that he lived our common life here on earth, that he suffered and died for us, that he rose again, and that he is always present through the Holy Spirit. Remembering these things, we celebrate once again the supper of the Lord. We pray that despite our sins and doubts, the Holy Spirit may transform what we are doing, so that we, as we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we may share in this eternal life of Christ. Lord, we thank you that we do not celebrate this supper alone, but we are in the company of your people, past, present, and to come. Amen.